5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Race into savings now at Menards. Mastercraft makes great doors inside and out, building the highest quality doors in a wide variety of styles. Add beauty to your home with interior doors from Mastercraft. Shop our huge in-stock selection or design your door your way in-store or online. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and race to savings on Mastercraft doors today.
Save big money at Menards.
I'm pissed off. Wait, are we podcasting?
This is exactly how you started the last one.
I know. Are we? No. Don't we start every podcast with, are we podcasting?
Yes, but then the second start has been, because I'm pissed off.
Oh, sorry. No, I'm not. Well, I'm not pissed off, but I'm irritated because Kristen and I have a lot more shows left to do. Go to imomsohard.com and get tickets. Get your girls and go.
Great start.
I have been, while we've been traveling, my kids have been sick.
And yeah, that was hard.
Well, I've been bragging about how I haven't gotten it. And then the kids are still sick. My husband's cough is actually getting worse. And I woke up yesterday with a sore throat. So I did Zoom with my doctor and I was like, I don't come in here and ask you for pain meds or all the bullshit other people do. I want you to give me like a Z-Pak, some steroids, whatever you can do. So I'm not going to be sick this weekend. She was like, nope. And I was like, what?
She denied you for a freaking Z-Pak? I think Z-Pak should be over the counter. What in the hell?
Oh, my God. I was going to
And Diflucan. If you got a freaking
kidney
infection or a bladder infection and you got to go beg a doctor for it, every minute counts. You're like, look, mother.
Dumb. It's so dumb. Like, it should just be over the counter.
I agree with that.
Most things related to your hoo-ha. And they're like, well, it could be something else. I'm like,
oh, save your shit.
I think I know what a yeast infection.
Yeah, you think I don't know what it's like to feel like I want to hump the side of my sofa just to itch an itch that can't be scratched of a yeast early? Where it feels like you got a daddy long legs down there and you're like, what? You know what that is. You know it's percolating. Jen said something. We were in an interview yesterday with a nice lady in Florida. And might I just say, her situation is so hard because I think sometimes we forget when like a natural disaster happens, we all go about our lives. Like if it's not in your backyard, you 2 or 3 days later, as we do, as you should, your life sort of goes back to things are as they were. And I think that's probably like a way for us to cope and survive. But this woman is still living in an Airbnb from Hurricane, what was it? Milton?
Milton, yeah.
And Milton really devastated that part of the country. And like, it always amazes me that like we move on and yet they're still living out of like housing bins and hoping for help and trying to rebuild and the process of that and how long that takes. And she was such
it's
a sport and she's a good, she's like, look, I'm in this Airbnb. It's not ideal for recording. So just bear with me. And we're like, lady, we do not have the same issues and we are hard to record. Like just wait till every person trying to sell me solar comes to my front door. I know
also,
how hard that is.
If you want to have two people in a difficult recording or performing situation, you invite your friends Kristen and Jen because we have performed through a fire alarm, through tornado warnings, through bats. I mean,
I don't know that I made it through the bats. I think I'm still coming out on the other side very traumatized from that experience. I'm still pissed off about it.
You know, my husband was just telling me, not bat related, but, you know, we have so many friends that were affected by the fires here in Southern California. But like, people can't move back in even if their house didn't get damaged, because, and now what they're finding is there is too microscopically small pieces of lead in the air that people can inhale.
Well, guys, I don't know if that was poetic, but we just had technical difficulties, right? When you said we were technically difficult.
Can I tell you what it was, Kristen? That
sure.
I had been talking to text evidently the last hour of my life. So my phone microphone swapped in, and that's what happened. So I'm smart.
And you know what? I'm going to say this, and don't anybody get your panties in a wad. I'm not going down a political hallway. I'm just saying, and I don't know everything about this, but I think you'll find it hilarious. But evidently, and this is like in the news, there is a reporter that like reports on the White House.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
And he somehow got on a text chain that was like incredibly secret, top secret, with like
it's
all
like
the big dogs.
Like a WhatsApp group that should.
For the government.
Which is scary, because I know what happens on my school WhatsApp groups. And that's
it. All I'm ever scared of is that. But I like to know that even people at the top are like, oh, shit, I accidentally sent a text I didn't mean to. Because that's all I do, is accidentally record myself, text myself. If I think it, I don't talk shit about anybody via text because I'm not perfect. Because I know I will magically text the person I'm talking shit about to them.
That's rookie. You should never do that anyway. Screenshots, baby. Just assume anything that you email, talk to text. That's why if the phone rings and it's for me, get ready to get prepared, because I'm going to say some stuff I don't want on paper.
If I go on calls, man, I'm like, I'm a weird like mafia lady. I'm like, hey, let's take this to a phone call. Okay.
Well, to that point, somebody who sent a message to the I'm Mom So Hard Instagram is going to get a transcription of the first 10 minutes of this podcast and probably the last 20 minutes of my life. And just be gentle with that information. There's nothing interesting that happened. You might have heard about my father-in-law's new home that he's living in, but that's real life, you guys.
I hate it, man. You know what else I do? I butt dial and I have a conversation. Do you want to know what's worse?
Ooh.
I butt dial and I talk to myself. I butt dialed my friend Mia, and she goes, you're talking, but I don't hear anyone else. And I'm like, because I'm talking to myself in my car, probably like working out something I'm gonna say that's strongly worded. So embarrassing.
Now, did you start watching, to that point, did you start watching the Karen Reed series?
I did, and here's what's going to kill you. I am all the way to the last episode.
Oh, I'm done.
Through the verdict. I don't know.
I'm done.
But I have thoughts.
Okay.
Let's just dig in. Okay, look.
Okay.
Here's the thing. It gives us such great joy to talk about true crime. We're going to talk about the Karen Reed case, which is the case of the woman who was accused of backing over her boyfriend after they went and had drinks. And then it becomes very clear that this could be a conspiracy within the Boston police force in one part of Boston. And then it goes on to show her trial and her defense and like how the lawyers are like working. I'm telling you, it's riveting. It's riveting because I go in and out of how I feel about her. And I think it's an important thing to remember that in the justice system, you are not measuring if someone is likable. You're measuring whether or not there is reasonable doubt. And boy, if she isn't a case of being like kind of a hard-edged like chick and seems a little mean, a little bit. She just seems a little sneery, but that doesn't mean she's guilty of murder or that anything was, you know, it's not like she threw her car into reverse just because she was pissed off at that guy.
She's not likable. She says things and I'm like, you're straight up bitch, man, but I don't know that she did it. But I told my husband after watching it, I was like, boy, if you're not a super likable, pleasant woman, people will have it in for you. They can make a villain out of you like pretty easy.
And a woman in particular, I know how that sounds, but like, you know, a woman, they're looking at if she's shrill, if she's emotive, if she's too emotional, if she's stoic, if she's, you know,
I think the word shrill is even said. I think that's even an asshole word. Like, you can't help if your voice is higher, you know, like.
I know, but I do think, God knows, we've had comments about my voice. No, I'm just kidding. I don't
your
know
voice,
that,
boy.
I don't know that I'm shrill. I think I'm more like, they're like, is that a man? But I do think that women, they're just looking for a reason to,
yeah,
you know, the need for objectivity doesn't feel like as important as when we're really measuring the case against
right.
somebody that's a man that's sitting in that chair. It just feels like we're all want to do like the detective work. But with women, we're like, no, she did it or she didn't do it.
I will say that documentary did a really great job of it. Hey, we are true crime connoisseurs and we
yeah,
can
man.
Pick apart a documentary.
Yes, we
I
can.
I think they did a good job of like, making you think like it could go either way. But also there were so many questions I had that they never addressed. Like there were so many like forensic questions that they never talked about. Like why didn't they have like a snow expert? Like why didn't they, there were all of these things about the clothing, about like, there were just
yes.
so many things that they did wrong. Like I want to talk to her counsel or the prosecutor
well,
and be like,
good.
Why don't you dig into this, man?
Yeah, and I also thought it was so interesting. So the case is the Karen Reed case, and it's on Hulu, and it's a 3-part series, I think, either way.
Is it Max? I think it's on Max.
Oh, maybe it's on Max.
Yeah.
You're right. It's on Max. And I agree with that. I think this is a very good documentary where you're like, there's times you're watching them in the car, and you're like, all right, you guys are getting a little cocky right now.
Yes.
You guys got to take it down a notch. But then there's times where they show, like, the prosecution and his only job. I mean, I don't understand this. This guy, it felt like I was watching Oatmeal. I'm like, God, he's just the most boring. Aren't you supposed to be like LA Law and like have a little savoir faire? Like,
yeah,
so boring. But what he did was just brought up names that he could put on the stand so he could repeat the words he hit her or she hit him so that it was repeated. There's so much gameplay in the justice system that I think is like, that's the part that makes me the saddest is it should be just
yeah.
reporting evidence. And it's
plus
so
all those
much
other
more.
Cops said they did not hear her say that. So
they did not. And there's not one body cam recording of her going, did I hit him?
Yeah. No,
did
that's
I hit
not
him?
On
not
there.
One.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting too, that like, that's what reminded me of it is all the butt dials. I'm like, the fuck, those are all butt dials, man.
That's not my phone.
If you're butt dialing somebody while lovemaking your wife, where's that phone at when that's happening? Like how?
Not that couldn't happen to me. That would 100%.
Certainly it would. I think that's all of our nightmare, really. Like I just like to have the phone in another room.
Yeah,
personally,
or,
if I'm
or
in
you
it.
Go to the bathroom and you're you know scrolling and then you hit live and that
yes
you've seen that yeah. Zoom right where that guy like goes to like
oh,
sit
God.
On the crapper or maybe
that's
possibly
my biggest fear.
Do something else and they're like Greg no and he's like you're like oh Jesus Christ
God,
what has happened
what'd you have for lunch
but
Greg yeah
I haven't watched do you want to just tell me what the verdict is.
I can because if you happen to see any news about it, and by the time everybody, it's a hung jury.
It's a hung jury. So what
yeah.
does that mean then?
So they didn't all agree. You have to have 12 agree for an acquittal or 12 agree for a conviction. So they were 50-50, I guess.
So
and,
now they have to go to another trial, right?
Retrial. And it's supposed to start in April. So it's starting now. So it's – and I want to watch this thing, I guess – it's not a federal trial, so you should be. They should have cameras in there at least, right? You
oh,
should be able to watch it.
I think it's up to the judge. I think it's up to
okay.
the judge how much media is allowed in because they had that whole thing where, again, that guy called the Terrible Duck or something like that. The God, what's his name? I'm now going to misquote him.
Oh my God, that blogger or whatever.
That blogger. He changed the game. He brought actual attention onto her case where she was being outnumbered, Right. And then all this stuff comes up that is a little wonky. Like, sorry, it's snowing out. If she hits him and she doesn't even know it, she's that drunk. Can that happen? Sure, I do believe that can happen.
Do you remember how many drinks she had?
Well, I mean, they all did.
All of these cops were drunk driving. They had 9 or 10 drinks in 3 hours.
On the low end.
Like, it's crazy. Like, I don't trust to say, I mean, these are pros, but I can't trust a single one of these people to, like, have, like, nerve endings working currently.
Are you kidding?
Like,
I would have been, like, first of all, around the corner, barfing my brains off. And these guys are fine. They're giving court testimony. They've had 14 drinks. They're getting a drink. And then she's like, I got a drink and a shot. She goes, I got a double vodka tonic, a vodka soda, and then I got a shot. And then
Kristen, you know me. My shirt would be off in 5 to 10 minutes. I would be trying to kiss everyone. I would be like, you guys would have to trink dart me. And, like, drag me to – I can't – so to do this, like
– Miss Smedley would like to call you to the stand. Do you remember the night?
I don't know. I have permanent brain damage from what happened.
Ma'am, there's a lot of video footage of you not having a shirt on.
Absolutely.
You're going into numerology. You're telling people they need to get to the dermatologist.
You don't know me. Don't judge me.
Are you still drunk, Miss Smedley?
I am. I would never sober up if I had that much to drink. It's truly incredible. I mean, these people are pros to a level I cannot understand.
Five years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Race to savings at Menards and start updating your home today. We offer an excellent in-stock selection of home appliances that are ready to take home today, including Criterion refrigerators, freezers, dishwashers, and laundry appliances. They're built to help make your life simple. No matter how busy life gets, Criterion appliances are ready when you are. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and race to savings on Criterion appliances.
Save big money at Menards.
Honestly, I'm like, and God love Boston, like, because Boston, like, parties, you know, but, like, if I first of all, my body would just give up on me. They would be like, Kristen is, there's been a we forgot about Kristen. She's dead in a bar stool somewhere. Like, has anybody seen her? She is a cadaver at McSweeney's, whatever tavern we're in. I'd be tickled.
You could back over me 3 to 4 times and I wouldn't feel it, honestly.
No one would call me to the stand.
Do you have a theory about what happened? Because I have a theory.
Okay, I have a theory that I don't think I can make as much out of, but I'll be curious if it's in line with what you think.
I think he's with friends, got mouthy, got hot, went in there by himself, got in a fight, and they're like, you need to go outside and chill the fuck out, threw him out in the yard, and he died of exposure.
Really?
I think he got in a fight with somebody in there, and they probably threw him out. His girlfriend's gone. He's maybe passes out in the yard, and so they got a cover up for it. That's what it sounded like to me.
Because that seems like the most plausible. Marks were weird. I mean, what do you think? They, like, got in a scrap. Like, they got into it.
I thought it looked, before they ever said anything about the dog, I thought it looked like women's fingernails.
I did too. I did too.
I thought, well, maybe he got in a fight with a dude, a woman there. Like, who knows what happened?
14 drinks. You could. I think I was the welterweight.
What people don't do is always more telling for me in those cases. Like Adnan Syed not calling her phone ever again is a big question mark I have.
Yep.
But the guy who owned the house, the cop that owned the house, never going outside to see what was going on,
also,
even though
he was an investigator. How long?
Come on.
How long does it take to die in the snow? Who else Googles that?
And why?
Like, is there a guy in the snow? Yes.
Yes. And there's a lot of question about like which iOS system you were using. And the most recent expert talking about it says the iOS that she was using would log the appropriate time. So there was no way that she had a window open earlier in the night, opened it, and then reopened it, used the same window in the morning. And that's why.
I think that Google search, I don't care if it's a week before or a week after, you Google search that, you're
weird.
It's weird. And if it's hinky, it's part of the case. You know what I mean?
Right.
If it just doesn't make sense. Like, I think what you're saying probably makes the most sense. My brain goes into something darker. I was like,
what is it?
Well, I think
hold on.
Myself,
by the way, we are professionals. You should take everything we say seriously and to heart. We will testify in your trial for enough money.
No, we don't want the money. We just want to get invited into the courtroom.
We just want to be a piece of this excitement, you guys.
Now I don't want to say it because now I'm scared.
No, say it. What?
Well, whenever people talk about conspiracies, a true conspiracy, when they talk about that word, is like, you know, a group of people believing in one thing or trying to cover one thing. You know what I mean? Like, and to me, there's a lot of family involved there. It feels a little big family to me. It feels like it was weird that the house was so quiet and dark when they got there. So I don't know if he came in and saw something he shouldn't have seen. And the 30 people that were all relatives sort of coming in and saying, like, you know, the daughter out of nowhere saying she thinks she saw a body that was 5 or 6 feet tall. Like, out of nowhere, it just feels like there's a little bit of a cover up going on, and I wonder if it's a little bit more significant than what we're seeing. And if that is true, then this case will blow the top off of it. And I do believe that. By the way, the web sleuths of the world are changing the game, which makes me so happy. But I think that like we'll see a bigger responsibility from people that are probably involved in something big. I mean, these are big people. The sergeant, the chief.
It's huge.
It's big.
And this would be my question. And I do just, I mean, I'm not in that county or whatever, but like if I lived in the county and
I think
if
it's
you
Canton,
do.
Guys, well, I don't even have a notebook in front of me. This
have
is how much we know the case.
I know.
It's like we don't
you have a right to ask these questions. And my question would be, how on earth did that surveillance video of her car get flipped? How did it get like flipped around?
Right.
And why? Because if you aren't covering something up, why are you making it so hard to find the truth?
Right. Because let me ask you this question. If that was flipped, would the image we see be of that person looking at the right side taillight?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
When you flip the image, he's looking at the passenger side taillight. He's doing something back there.
But
you wouldn't see his head.
We wouldn't see the face. It wouldn't be a 4D image being flipped. It would be the same image flipped to the other side. So we still wouldn't see who is behind that car, but we would see that they are looking at the right side of the car.
Right. Right. Correct.
Yeah. Like they show that she backs out and she hits his car. I mean, there is also a lot of like convenient truths to her side too that I'm like, boy, she's got an answer for everything. It feels like there's two sides of this that, you know, again, it goes back to if everybody were sober, this would be a very different conversation.
I know. That's kind of the sad part of it, you know.
But everybody's allowed, you know, you run the risk. If you're an adult, you drink too much, you drive, you run the risk of, you know, ultimately hurting someone or yourself or getting a DUI, you run that risk. These people were out. They were adults. They were, you know, feisty. Like when they replayed her phone call and she was so pissed off, I was like, but that didn't seem that crazy to me. I was like,
no,
you listened to a married person fight and they're fucking mad, or yeah, that person didn't show up, or you think for a chance they might be cheating, you're going to say the meanest shit, and then you're going to forgive them by Wednesday. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, to me, that wasn't damning.
To be fair, to say the things that confuse me about, you know, there being a cover, you know, I gave my reasons why I think it could be a cover up. The things about her is she was so hammered that she could have hit him and not know it.
It's true. And it happens all the time.
Because she was so out of it. And then the other thing is, I don't understand why when she went to look for him, she was worried about him dying outside, because it sounded like, I mean, all of those phone calls she makes at night to go, you're cheating on me. Yeah. That makes sense.
She's still there.
Yeah. So why is she worried about him being outside? Those are the things that I don't get on her side.
Here's the other thing that I would be excited to see is like what the physics are on how her car is parked, how fast she'd have to be able to go. Like if she threw that sucker into reverse and hit the gas, how fast with snow on the ground could she actually go to hit him? How many feet does she have before he's behind that car? Do you know what I mean? Because if he's behind it, he's just going to be pissed off. But if he's 10 feet behind it, she's going to get some speed on that.
He would have had to have a glass, highball glass in his hand at the time that she hit him. But here's
Which
the other
weird.
Thing. When you look, so you were looking at the house. You guys, I am a criminologist. You're looking at the house.
So good to talk about this.
He is found on the left-hand side of the front yard.
Yeah, as you're looking into to the house, front left side.
When you pull up to a house, so when she pulls up to the house, unless she is on the...
She
went to the neighbors.
Turn. Yeah.
Oh, you think she 3-point? So she went past it and then backed up to hit him?
I'm saying if she did back into him,
it's the wrong direction.
She didn't have enough like force to actually like cause a death injury to him if it was like 2 feet. You see what I mean? Like if I'm backing my car up and I got 2 feet and I hit the gas and I'm pissed off and I do a 3-point turn.
Yeah.
At the best, he's a 6-foot man. He's a 250-pound
You knock
cop.
Him over.
I think you knock him over, piss him off. Like, or
and also, there wasn't snow yet when she hit him, supposedly. So wouldn't it be, there'd be tracks in the grass?
I suppose. And that would be the other thing. I don't know. I mean, there was so much mis-
I just need a professional to go over this case for us. Like, hit all those points, Kristen.
I know. And I think it's really, I mean, I am not I don't see ahead if someone's playing an ugly game. I'm not strategic. You know what I mean? I'm kind of a hook, line, and sinker person. So, like, I never would be good at thinking ahead to cover my tracks. I would be – because I my brain doesn't work like that. I'm definitely someone that would be like, oh, shit. Like, it would happen impulsively. But for those guys to go to the scene of the crime and then all of a sudden there's these brake light pieces everywhere
that they hadn't found before, right?
Seems that to me screams the most. I'm like, give me an absolute break. Like, you could put me out there and I would find those pieces. You know what I mean? Like, that to me is screams like, why is this person at the back taillight? They're pulling off pieces, they're going to drop them at the scene, and they're going to make her take the fall. And the question is, why are they going to such great lengths to make this girl, like this woman who they always say We liked Karen. I'm like, okay, then why are we framing Karen if that's the big get here? Like, who are we protecting? Who fucked up? Because, I mean, and my heart goes out to the family of Officer O'Keefe, because
and
I
those
do feel
kids
like
and that those he kids. Was raising.
But make no mistake, like, I love that they got in a fight that Karen was spoiling his kids. That's not the fight you normally see or think is going to happen. So Karen just is a little icy, but that doesn't make her a murderer. It just makes her a little unlikable, which, you know, I think we all need to be a little bit aware when we're looking at judging people, like that everybody can have a bad day. With that being said, did she have a bad day and throttle her boyfriend? I don't know. I'm 80-20. Actually, no, I'm not. I'm 90-10. I'm 90% convinced that she did not know or did not, in fact, run him over. It's the video for me when the EMT finally show up.
Yeah.
You can't fake that. We've watched too many true crime things where they're brought into a interrogation room, or when the true psychopaths break into tears and you're like, oh, that's fake. That's a fake reaction. Like the like grand. And she was in that space of, wait a minute, what? Wait.
Yes. And the messages that she left on his phone, not knowing where he was,
feels real.
Weren't nice.
They weren't nice.
They were. She called him every name in the book. You're cheating on me, motherfucker. And I feel like if you're trying to cover up having murdered somebody, you're going to be like, where are you? I'm so worried. Where have you been? And she
like
there was none of that.
Pacito's crazy ass. The one where he took her phone.
Oh,
and was texting himself to his own phone, and they have it on the ping on the cell thing.
That's insane.
It's literally phone to phone.
Yes. Yes. It's there's none of that. Like when they play her voicemails, I'm like, yikes.
She's
Karen.
Bad.
Yeah. Like she's not likable in those. And I don't think that's what you would do if you're setting up an alibi for yourself.
Exactly. And here's the other thing that took me a second. All the murder that we've watched, talked about, read, all of it, which is a lot, you guys. And if you wonder what we talk about on airplanes, it's this. It's this or Walter.
Literally this. Yeah.
but the thing that is that I had to think about that like blew my mind is people often say, oh, she didn't show any signs of remorse. He doesn't show any signs of remorse. A lot of this happened, especially in the Menendez case, which is so graphic and tough. But what people don't recognize or remember or think about, because I certainly have no experience in this, is when you are involved in a trial, it is years.
Yes.
It is, you know, if you've ever been called in for jury duty, which I have, that process is, there's nothing about it that is quick. Justice is not swift. It is long and tedious. And it is paperwork and it is documents and it is all this shit that we edit out for the sake of criminal intent SVU is brought back in. And you're like, Jesus, we've been sitting in the, like, I think it's fair to say that after a while, you're just numb. And like, what is the expectation that like every time 30 different witnesses go up and say the same thing about her over and over, she's supposed to like shed a tear? I would be like, I'd be raw.
Well, that, and also, you know, I always feel defensive for people when you're told how you're supposed to deal with your trauma. Like she had just like lost this person she thought she was going to be with. And like, that's your interpretation, like the way that you deal with all of that is different for everybody. So I think that's hard to say. The thing that worries me more, and I can't remember if it was that documentary or something else I watched recently where they had a person talking about the way your brain works. And like the further you get away from an event, you remember the last time you told that story rather than.
Yes, we just talked about this.
Okay. I did?
Yeah. That the idea is that so to say, an innocent person would remember an event with those impactful moments, but you lose the edge of the detail, where a guilty person would remember every single detail because they are dotting their I's and crossing their T's so that they know every turn that they made. And so you can almost tell if someone is guilty based on their memory of the event as the time goes on. And if their memory of the event is super clear and super sharp in every corner, the question is like, how can you remember so like everything? Where most of us are like, we remember that maybe like turning the corner and the car's coming at you, or you know, whatever the impactful thing. I know that people have said like when they've received like terrible news, they remember the thing they did right before the news. Like one person was interviewed, he said, I closed my laptop, which I've done a million times. And for some reason that time, like I'll never forget the way that felt or sounded. And it just gave me like goosebumps. So there is a lot of that, which I find incredibly fascinating. You guys, are we on our way to be true crime podcasters? Is that what's happening right now?
Almost.
I mean,
also they're close. I think too, like, why would you remember what should be an innocuous moment in your life?
Exactly.
That's suspicious. But like, if it's accompanied by something big happening, then you're going to remember it. So like,
you know what else I think is really interesting is they are almost now just saying like that eyewitness testimony is one of the most faulty forms of testimony that you can get.
Yes.
Because there is like all of these different influences. Like a lot of people want to be a part of the solution, so they're like, "Oh, I'm sure it's him sitting in the chair because I saw him." And when reality, they couldn't have seen him or her. They were just want so bad they're compelled to be a part of the good part of the story,
right?
That they and also what your memory does that like you can almost put yourself in the situation and believe you were there, which is a next level kind of like psychology that you weren't even on the right side of seeing this thing and you're reporting on it because you think it's what you should have seen. It's crazy. I find eyewitness testimonies to be very, very interesting. And when I was called in to be a juror in a murder case where Judge Ito was the judge. No.
Whoa.
I told you that before.
No, I know.
With Marsha Clark as the, I mean, literally this was on the heels of the OJ case. And I was like, are these celebrities kind of right? And the only eyewitness testimony they had in this case that I was supposed to be a juror on was a 4-year-old girl.
Oh.
And I mean, but then I started bawling when they asked me to be on the juror because I was like, I just moved here from Nebraska. And if I do this, I'll go broke.
Number one, yes. I cannot afford to serve
literally
county.
I remember him being kind to me. And I have gone back to jury duty now 3 times. And I'm like, I'm what do you need? I'm here.
I was amazed when I got called in for jury duty and I was like down to the one of the last ones,
you'd be a good juror.
I'm a big question asker. Like if I need clarification on something, I will ask it. And I remember this attorney goes, now, because they lead you how they want you to answer and they rely so much on the like group, the group, you know how like people want to be more moral when they're in a group or something?
Yeah.
Or, like they want it. So this, why are you laughing at me? I'm making fun of this attorney.
I have a feeling you're going to say you got excused from a jury.
Oh, girl, I did. Okay. So he goes, now, none of you think that just because somebody is taking drugs that makes them more likely to murder somebody. And everybody was like, nope, nuh-uh, I don't think so. And I like remember looking around at people because you were supposed to raise your hand if you disagreed. And I was like, I raised my hand. I was like, I'm not sure I understand the question. He's like, well, what didn't you understand about that? I go, so like, is me on drugs more likely to kill someone than me not on drugs? Because
Good question.
And he was like, mar, mar, mar. Like he went over and he talked to the other attorney. And I didn't get excused for that. I got excused because I had been married to a policeman.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah.
What's that called? Voir dire or?
Yeah, it was voir dire. Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah,
I think so.
That jury selection is so interesting. And I really do think like it's incredible when you get people together of different walks of life. And they have to just look at evidence and they have a job to do. I do believe most of the time they do the right thing. I mean, it's a comment on when it really is a life or death situation. I don't think people are in there like, I don't want to come back tomorrow. And if they are, then good for the love of God. Don't tell me about it. I don't want to know. But yeah. I do think like it's just
I'm less likely to blame a jury if the verdict isn't what I thought it would be or what that it feels like the evidence points to, I'm more likely to blame a prosecutor for not doing the right charges. Because you know what I'm saying?
I think that can go both sides. I think that, unfortunately, when you're given, an attorney, when you're given,
District attorney?
When the court gives you an attorney and their caseload, what's it called? God damn it.
Hold on. Oh, I'm so mad. My brain just went blank. It's a public defender.
Public defender. When you're given a public defender, and we have a very good family friend who is a public defender, their caseloads are so big and the law is so vast. It does feel like a lot of times you're not getting the kind of care that you are if you're paying out of pocket. And when you pay out of pocket, boy, do you pay out of pocket. So it does feel like justice is a price tag. That's just the truth of it.
Who is paying Karen Reed's attorney?
I don't know, he's loving it. He's Kevin Spacey's former attorney. And you know who I really like is her, the young
girl. She
is smart. She's
so
savvy.
Yeah.
So savvy. Did you notice the grease board behind them where they had written all the one word? It's my thing. You know how when we create a show, I'm weirdo with my big old post-it notes and I write everything out. This attorney did that. And I was like, I understand. I find it fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. She's amazing.
That
girl,
young
whoever
attorney.
She is.
I say this. I think she's 40, but I think she look. I'm like
she's a kid.
Looks like
she looks
22.
So young. I know. Well, I think she must be young, otherwise she would be one of the litigators.
Yeah, she's been practicing law for 9 years, and I think so. Then that would put her at she's 32. She's a baby. Her mama must be so proud.
I know.
If anybody needs us for legal counsel,
we're available.
We are available.
Also, you know what?
We have no zero.
Check
zero
out our Groupon. We will go discount. We're interested.
But let me just say this. Is this an idea or a TV pitch? I'm not sure. I do feel there's a world, trademark, copyright, where, and if any producers are listening, I think Jen and I should be Cagney and Lacey of 2026.
Thank you.
And we either scripted or reality series where we get cases and we become our next thing is we become private investigators. Now, I don't think I could really handle it in real life because I couldn't face anybody. And I don't have a very good bandwidth for focus, but in a TV space, I think I'd be great.
Yeah. Kristen has to go to trial and she'd be like, my God, we're going to ever get a break in here? I'm getting a spotty. Can we get something? I just need some sugar or protein. Somebody bring something. Getting lightheaded. I got to, what? I can't have my phone at all? I'm drawing pictures of all the jurors. I'm allowed to do that.
But you know what I'd be happy about? Legal pads.
They're real legal pads too. Oh God, Kristen,
so
you know what? We were going to talk about today. We didn't even get to it because we're
didn't
so
this
excited.
Feel so good.
Yes, it's
Jen
such escapism.
It really is, and it uses parts of your brain that you haven't used. I don't know about you, but I'll be honest. I just showered this morning since we've been back.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's day four. And I sometimes when it's like that, I go, Hensley, is your mental health not so good right now? And I think maybe it isn't. I do think sometimes you just feel out of step. And there's something about true crime that lights my brain in a space that nothing else gets to it and makes
it
me feel smart.
It does make me feel like my brain is working again.
Yeah.
Because there are so many.
Cobwebs are like.
I will tell you, I have a friend in the PTA who I only get to see once every month or so. And every time she's great at remembering what's going on in your life and asks you about it. And she asked me about my own life and I blank stare her. I did it today. I'm just wait, what? When was that? Because once I don't need it, it's gone. It's out of my brain. And I'm like, girl, true crime I'm not making this stuff up. I just don't remember my life when I don't need to anymore because it's not interesting.
Well, I think too, being on the road, which is so fun, it is survival. It's a weird thing where you're an alpaca. You're like, yeah. You go to one.
I don't
hotel.
Know what that means, but I like that idea.
Not an alpaca.
Idea.
What am I trying to say? Like a
pack
like
mule.
Like a pack mule. Poor little Jenny. She's so tiny, and she's got this backpack on that she got new. And I was like, that thing is as big as her. And then she's got her little suitcase, and we're rolling through airports. And then I've got a system.
I rely on the kindness of strangers and my dear friend Kristen, because she's got her own stuff that she's hauling too.
Well, I just feel like it's this. You're on this like conveyor belt. You're going through an airport. You'd keep it, and also you're trying not to like lose your shit, and you're getting on airplanes, and it's, you know, you're it's not that you feel sad. It's you just feel worked. So then it's same thing. I had 11 hotel keys in my purse.
Yeah.
And you get to a point where you're like putting one and you're like, God damn it, my key doesn't work. And you're like, yes. That's because this is from the Hilton in Des Moines and you are in New Jersey, ma'am.
Yeah.
Like, so then you go, and I think both of us like find comfort when we go into our hotel rooms to turn on Forensic Files.
Yes, that turn voice. On
that stupid voice. And guess what it does?
Yep, we're gonna have some. Maybe I'm gonna have some hot tamales and some corn nuts and
just murder out.
Give myself Legionnaire's disease off all this ice I'm putting in my Chardonnay and just chill.
I eat a French dip with zero apologies. I'll tell you right now, if that was ever on a Ring app, I think that would be my most embarrassing thing.
What, you eating that
French dip just like with zero regard?
It's like a bear attack, man.
Yeah, just, I'm like on my side, like eating it so I don't have to put my head up.
It's like, have you seen those videos where a guy like ties a rope around the door of his truck and then like gets in a dumpster and there's a bear in there? It's like, it's Michelle the other night going, you know what? I knew there was an everything bagel in that van, so I called the valet. Like, give me the van. I'm going to destroy that bagel at 2 a.m.
I know. And sometimes I fall asleep before I can finish eating the food that I have in my hotel room. And then I'll wake up to go pee and then I'll take another bite of it because I just feel pissed off. But I know. It's disgusting. I'm disgusting.
And you, in the morning, you wake up and you're like, it is a smell worse than spilt whiskey. You're like, that's au jus, man.
That's au jus in my bed.
It's like evaporated up into the air like a fog.
I never apologize for French dips.
I have to apologize for something that happened in the last podcast. Addison, who's our number one listener and also the big, like, he's been like managing our website, and I cannot
he's so kind.
Thank
I can't
him
even.
Enough. He's got his shit together in a way that I never will.
It's just
he's so organized. And it's so nice. But he texted me, he goes, the word you were looking for on last week's podcast was cardiologist. A cardinologist is not, it's not a thing. And I'm like, I know the word cardiologist, or at some point in my life, I knew that that was the correct word. And so I would like to apologize for using the word cardinologist. That's not a thing.
We'd like to bring Jen Smedley, a very well-known cardinologist, to the stand, too.
No, this is what... Identify yourself, ma'am, and tell us what your specialty is.
I'm a cardinologist.
Wait, it's about birds? Yes. I have had 19 vodka sodas with a sidecar, and I'm a cardinologist. I'm here to testify.
Oh, shit. Did we podcast?
I think we podcasted.
Did we podcast? I think so.
Pioneer.